chapter 2, we're going to cover one verse today. We're going to cover verse 13. And the scripture, the title of the sermon is, "The Word is God's Change Agent." The Word is God's Change Agent. Verse 13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful. We don't always act like it, but we're so thankful that we have your Word. God, I would pray today that every person in this place would make the Word of God first place and final authority in their life. I call upon the Spirit of the Lord today to move and to make alive the words on this page. The words that come from my lips, let them be Spirit-filled words. Let them change us. Let them ignite a fire in our heart and a passion in us that's never been there before. Let it burn brightly. God, I pray that for once that we would get tired of the lives that we're living and make a decision to be all that we can be in you. And then, Lord, I know that you will empower us to do those things. So, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to start today by reviewing just the last couple of, the last chapter, chapter and a half. And you'll remember that when we wrote this, that Paul had visited Thessalonica and he had spent 3 weeks in this church, 21 days just preaching the gospel in the streets and in the synagogue, and people received the Word of God. And so the very first message we preached was about the dedicating 21 days to the Lord, and I think that would be up today. So if you think about it, I know that many of you probably would look back over those 21 days and you would say, well, nothing happened. There's no big change in my life. And that's exactly what Satan would want you to believe. But that's exactly probably what Paul thought. Paul probably thought, well, 21 days, what could happen? So 3 years later, even though he had wanted to go back, he couldn't get back there. So he sent Timothy and he said, just go over there and see if there's a church. 3 years later, he finds out that the church is alive and well. So for the last 21 days, you have dedicated yourself to the Lord and you said, nothing's happened. We are so conditioned to go by what we feel, what we see. And I just encourage you that spiritual things most of the time are not seen readily. They work from within and come out. So God maybe has planted a seed in you in the last 21 days that in a while you'll begin to see the fruits of it. So don't speak against it. Don't use your words to condemn and criticize what God has been doing in the last 21 days in your life. So he says the gospel we preach was not in word only. You know, all across America, there'll be a lot of sermons preached today, and they will be word only. There'll be no spirit to them. God help us. We need word, but we need spirit-filled word. We need spirit-infused word in our pulpits. Paul says, listen guys, before we ever came to your city, we've been tested and approved and entrusted. I love those three words. We've been tested by God and approved by God and entrusted with the gospel. Now, I would just, if I could just impart those words to you, you have been tested, you have been approved, and now you are being entrusted. I wish that I could just set a mantle. If I had a sword, I would just knight you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are now knighted. Now go, my servant, and fight for the King of Kings.
Amen.
That's a lot better preaching than you're shouting. He said, we didn't come to flatter you. We didn't come to entice you. Anytime somebody flatters you, there's a motive behind. Somebody can give you a sincere compliment. That's not flattery. People tell me all the time how good looking I am. I know that's not flattery. And I'm teasing. But flattery always has a motive behind it. They are telling you something that you sort of want to hear so they can get something out of you later. Paul said, hey, we didn't come with that. We didn't come bringing stuff to you with flattery. We come and demonstrate the power of God, and that's what we need. He says, we imparted something in you of ourselves and of God. And we talked about that Sunday, about how we need to give of ourselves. I had probably the most exciting Sunday school class. Three young men came today and sat in my office, and we're just beginning to intertwine our lives together. And I can just see how what God is doing to build the kingdom, to build men of God. One guy said in there, Jonathan, he said, as iron sharpens iron. That's the way our lives are supposed to be, guys. We're supposed to sharpen each other for the kingdom of God. You have something to give. Oh, my goodness. Most Christians, they take this humble approach. Well, I'm just a little old, weak thing in the kingdom. If I make it to heaven, I'm just going to be glad. Well, so are we. You know, God didn't create junk. There's no junk in the kingdom of God. There's no useless people in the kingdom. Mordecai looked at Esther and he said, girl, he said, you need to realize you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I wish every one of us had a Mordecai in our life. Somebody that would get their little bony finger and put it in your face and say, God didn't just bring you in the kingdom to get you saved. God brought you into the kingdom because he needs you. He needs you to do something. You have something to offer. Now, Satan might be telling you you're a nothing, but Jesus is telling you, no, 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 you're a something. See, with God, when God places his hand upon you, you might have been a nothing, but you're nothing. You're not that anymore. You're something when God puts his hand on you. So he says, we nourished you as a nursing mother does an infant, but as a father, we exhorted you, we comforted you, and then we charged you. So you're seeing both sides of mom and dad in the kingdom of God. You know, there's times when pastors, we feel like we spend our days changing diapers. Yeah, for you. Been saved 37 years and I'm taking this stinking diaper off of you. Oh, it's time we grow up. There's a time when we ought to put the diapers and the bottles and the pacifiers away and take on some maturity in the body of Christ. So he says, I exhorted you, I comforted you, but I also charged you. I find there's not a lot of charging in the kingdom these days. And I think we ought to be charged and revved up and ready to go, right? He says, you need to walk worthy of God who called you. I think that is such a solemn statement. How does somebody walk worthy of this? The ultimate sacrifice. And he says, you walk worthy of what's been done for you. You know, I think we could say those people that were saved on that day of 911. Somebody, some fireman, some policeman rushed in a building that they knew could cost them their life. Now you walk worthy of that. You make your life count. How much more? How much more than a fireman or a policeman doing his duty, going beyond his duty? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sacrificed it all for you. And he says, for this reason, we thank God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from me or from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men. We're a charismatic Pentecostal church. I've been Pentecost all my life. I tell people I was Pentecost when it wasn't cool. It's sort of cool to be Pentecost these days, but back in the 60s, it wasn't cool to be Pentecost. People would avoid you, shun you, think you're the devil. I love the Spirit of Christ. I love the Holy Spirit. But I think that we do a lot of things wrong. Most Pentecosts would have thought we had a good service if I would have never stepped to the pulpit. We would continue on in worship and we'd had a Holy Ghost moment. Woo-hoo-hoo! Right? Shake the hair down. Bobby pins flowing all over the place. You remember those days? The old ladies walk like a chicken. I mean, we've done some crazy things, haven't we? It stirs you up emotionally. But you know what? Please forgive me. But we were the dumbest people in the church doctrinally. We didn't know the word. We would go to church and we'd have that Holy Ghost moment, and then we would go out to the restaurant and talk down the waitress. There was no love. There was a lot of emotionalism. But there was no love. Here's what I'm trying to say. The Word of God is the one that brings the effective change in your life. We should never have a service without the Word. He says, it's not the word of men. See, I can give you counsel, but I'm going to tell you, God can do more at an altar in 10 seconds than I can do in a lifetime of preaching. We just need to get along with Him. We need to get His word. Psalms 138:2 says that God exalted His word over His name. Over the name of Jesus. It's highly exalted. But there's one thing that stands above the name of Jesus. It's the Word. He exalted His Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word, right? Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. Isn't it amazing that the youngest part of this book is almost 2,000 years old, and the oldest part is somewhere around 3,500 years old, and it's still changing lives today? Amen. Who could do that but God? Amen. Shakespeare couldn't write anything that would change people's lives like that. It took God to do that. And yet we treat it with such contempt. Jeremiah 1:12, God says this. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. I believe that's when it comes out of your mouth. When it starts coming out of the child of God's mouth, God says, I watch it because I will honor my word. I'll prove my word. I'll do my word. Matthew 4:4 is Jesus speaking. He says, men should not live by bread alone. Oh my goodness, give me a good buffet, right? Sign me up. but by every word. Jesus is not saying, I don't enjoy a good Mexican buffet. I'm pretty sure he loves that cheese sauce just as much as you do. But there's one thing more important. The Word of God. If we could see ourselves through spiritual eyes and compare it to this body of flesh, what does your spiritual man look like? If you, the only word that you get is when you come to church, you're starving to death. You just don't know it. You're a skeleton. If you've ever seen anyone die of cancer long term, you've watched them just fade away to nothing. I've seen big men go down to 90 pounds or so. It's a sad thing. And I believe that if we could look into the Spirit, we might see that we look like skeletons because we're not feeding ourselves the bread from heaven. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's hard to get two people to agree on anything, right? And yet over the span of about 1,500 years, 40 men of God wrote this book inspired by the Holy Ghost that is not conflicting in any way. And there is no error in the Word of God. So why? Why did he give us this word? Paul writes to Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. In other words, it's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. It's amazing how some people don't even believe the Lord corrects you. But it's for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What? That Eric, that Treva, that Danny, that Sheila, that every one of us may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. But we don't read it. How can... I don't get it. There's not a person in here probably that disagrees with anything I've said yet. We also, the Word of God, yeah. When's the last time you read it? 3 weeks ago. I don't always feel like reading the Word of God. And feelings got nothing to do with it. I don't always feel like eating. Hail Mary, full of grace, Mother, forgive me. But 12 o'clock rolls around, I'm looking for a table somewhere. The second thing I believe is you must believe in the Word of God. We use that word believe today to mean mental assent. Yes, I agree, I believe. That's not what biblical belief is. Biblical belief is, I agree, therefore I will do. Because I believe this word, I'm going to live according to the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. That's what the psalmist said. We know that if faith is what pleases God, and Romans 10 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, you can't always see what the Word of God is doing in your life. But keep taking doses of it. Massive doses. If you're watching Fox News 6 hours a day, you probably need this about 18 hours a day. Ooh, am I preaching against Fox News? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Take a step back, buddy. That's holy ground. Man, I get so sick of it. And that's the good station. Man, it's just like pouring in the world. Teach me what to think, world. Why should we not have our minds renewed by this? Let him teach you how to think. I find that he addresses every subject. People think that he doesn't talk about drug abuse. Yes, he does. We just don't know the word. It's pharmakia. He talks about marriage. He talks about children. He talks about work relationships. He talks about money. He talks about assembling yourself together. He addresses everything you need to know. The best counsel you can get in the world is to go to the book. Amen. If my car is broken, I get a mechanic, but I want him to take the book out. Look at the book and tell me how to fix my car. Look at the book and fix your life. John 8:31 says, if you abide, that word abide means dwell. Doesn't mean visit. If you'll abide, if you'll dwell, spend some time with me in my word. You are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now we hear that verse all the time, but we miss our responsibility. Oh, you know the truth. The truth will set you free. Praise God. Well, why is it then that we're dwelling in the truth, but we got Christians all over the place that are held in bondage? You know, quite honestly, our lives don't look a whole lot different than the world. You really think that's God's best? I know I'm preaching hard. Bob, this is not much of a feel-good sermon, is it? If you'll dwell in the Word of God, He will deliver you from your bondages. You hear me? That's the Word. In James chapter 1, he said, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. The implanted word. See, the trouble with serving Jesus is he's all about seed time and harvest. He could say poof and make you the person that you're supposed to be, but he will not. He'll plant a word in you. He'll plant a seed. And then he says, Cindy, you need to water the seed. You water the seed with the word of God. You water the seed with his presence. I planted it in you. Now it's up to you. Grow it. Grow it. And as you grow it, it's implanted there. As you grow it, it's going to take over your life and you'll become who God has called you to be. Trouble with it is you remember when you're a little kid about dinner time, you go to the cabinet and grab the crackers, candy, chips. What would your mama say? Hey, I'm cooking supper. Don't fill up on that junk, because the good food's coming. He said, you need to lay aside all this filthiness. You see, listen please, we're so filled up with the world's nonsense, we're not receiving the word. It's like water. Hey guys, it's good to see you all. We haven't seen them for, hallelujah, you just made my day. Well, now what was I saying? The Foxes, Brianna and Tyler, they both work on Sundays, so. We're so filled with the world that we're not able to take nutrients from the word. And he says, okay, you need to get rid of some things. Let's get rid of some garbage so that I can pour some things in you. Now again, what's he pouring in? He's going to pour in seed. Seed, that's it. You know how little seed is, right? He said the mustard seed. If your faith is as a mustard, that's the smallest seed in the world. Sometimes the seed that he plants is really small, and it seems like that's not going to make a difference in my life. Are you kidding me? It's a seed from heaven. It will overtake you if you allow it. But you got to let it grow. Therefore, we cannot get down on ourselves. But we have to do, it's time the church realizes, I have something in the game. I have a responsibility. This is not all the Holy Ghost. He's not just going to grab you. You, feed yourself. Come on, get a fork. Get into the Word. Start putting it in. What do we usually hear? But I don't understand it. Of course you don't. You're carnal. You got an old meaty mind. Fleshly mind. That book is spiritual. It's all spiritual. But as you digest it, as you systematically study the Word of God, you don't even notice it, but you begin to change. You see, for so long, the church has said, you need to change. Cut your hair, sister. What are you doing wearing pants? And we tried to bring all the change on the outside. God says, no, I'm going to start on the inside. And it's going to take over. I don't think you had to preach, ladies, you wear your dresses. If your fingers don't go to the end of your skirt, it's too short. You get the Word of God in them and you'll never have to worry about that. That's good Holy Ghost preaching, I'm going to tell you. I sound like an old Pentecost, don't I? The Word of God is truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. But as many, I'm skipping in John 1, 1 verse 1, verse 3, verse 12, I believe, or 14. But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. But as many as received Jesus, how do you receive Jesus? Seed form. He comes in you in a seed. But when that seed comes in, the Holy Ghost, when that man said, forgive me, it registered in heaven. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 17, 17, Jesus is teaching. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. What does sanctify mean? It's a good old gospel word. Set apart. If you look too much like the world, the way He is going to set you apart is through the Word of God. You're going to read this book. And the Spirit of God is going to bring it alive to you. He's going to show you things through this Word. You know, the Jews say that there's 8 different meanings to every scripture in the book. We're just on surface level. There's deeper meanings in this book that God will reveal to you. Will revelation knowledge from heaven. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My words will not pass away. The Word of God is the effective change agent. In Isaiah 55, 11, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return void. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It will accomplish the purpose that God has sent it. In Hebrews 4:12, it's probably every Bible scholar in this room said, when's he going to get to Hebrews 4:12? It's coming. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible says that no man can know his heart. You may think you know your heart, but you really don't. Sometimes you don't even know that you're operating in a bad motive. There's a selfish motive to the reason you're doing things. But with the Word of God, He'll show that. He'll expose those things. He says, the Word of God is able to divide soul and spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It's how most of us live all the time. We're very soulish. I didn't think I'd get an amen. See, when you get saved, we're a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit basically is asleep until you accept Jesus. When you accept Jesus, He wakes your spirit up. Then you become a spiritual creature. You can receive things from God. And He says the Word of God will divide the soulish man and the spiritual man. He will show you, am I operating from just what I know? Just what I can figure out? Am I operating out of my gut? All the appetites? Am I being motivated? My sexual desires, my food desires, my shopping desires, everything materialistic? Is it just all about the appetites of the flesh with me? And the Word of God comes in and He divides soul and spirit. This is good teaching. And He says, I will teach you how to make better decisions in your life. So that all your decisions is not just what... Human wisdom is wonderful. I believe in education. But there's a wisdom that far exceeds our wisdom. And that's God's wisdom. And He will give it to us freely. But we got to pray for it, ask for it, believe for it, study for it. And then the Word of God separates it and it says, okay, you can do this, but that's a soulish decision. Or you can go my way. And it may be a little bit more difficult. It may be harder because you're swimming upstream in the culture that we live in today. But if you will do that, I promise you, abundant life is on the other side of following me. Are you getting that? How does that happen? Through the Word of God. We talk about this two-edged sword quite a bit. I've taught this many times. The Word of God is two-edged sword. Because when it came out of Jesus' mouth, that's one edge. You know what a double-sided sword cuts going in and going out. Both sides sharp. When it came out of Jesus' mouth, it got an edge. But when it comes out of your mouth, the other edge. That's the double-edged sword. Is when you begin to speak the Word of God over your life. It cuts, it divides. You know, if a person is sick, you can pat him, rub oil on his head and say, I hope you get better. Bless God. Oh, I hope you're better. Or you can take him to a surgeon, not a butcher, but a surgeon, who will take an instrument called a scalpel, and he will cut. He'll go all the way down to the tissue that's infected, and he'll pull that out. It don't matter how much you bandage the outside of the wound, the sore is deep. It's going to keep breaking open. Pus is going to keep coming out of that sore. It's going to keep being nasty until somebody who is good with a scalpel can cut that open, go deep, get the infection out, and let the healing begin. Do you understand that's what the Word of God does? See, we don't see how sick we are. See, I dealt with older people all my life. I love older people. I mean, I absolutely have a love for older people. But I'm going to tell you, a young pervert turns into an old pervert. And they get worse because they've got 80 years to work on this perversion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Something's got to happen in their life to stop the perversion, or else he'll continue down the path. To stop the womanizer, to stop the addict, to stop the thief, there's got to be something that comes into our life. What is it? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is the change agent that he uses to stop the perversion, to stop the whatever it is in your life. He can stop it. That's why Paul told Timothy, hey, you study yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I typed it out of the New King James. If it comes up there, you'll see it's a little bit different. I memorized everything in the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Last thing the Lord gave me Saturday, the Lord gives direction to the child of God. Psalms 32:8, he said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye upon you. Isaiah 30:21 said, and the ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. He can speak to your heart with that kind of clarity. In John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they'll follow me. Why? Because when you hear the voice of God, it's going to sound a whole lot like this. If I begin to prophesy, people would line up. Give me a word for the Lord. Pastor, give me a word from the Lord. I got a word from you. Right there. That's your word from the Lord. It's written straight to you. You know what it says? It says you will prosper. You will do well. You'll live a life of abundance, not just money. I'm so sick of that doctrine. You'll live in abundance when you live in this word. If you'll dwell, not hit and miss. You get me? It's going to separate the men from the boys right here. If you come to hear a nice religious sermon this morning, I just apologize. I'm sorry. I'll change your diaper on Wednesday. This is not for boys. This will break it. This will break off the bondages of your life. So I started off talking about the Spirit of God. I love the Holy Spirit. He's come for a few reasons. Jesus said, I'm going to send another one of my kind. He's just like me. But I can't be everywhere at one time, so I'm sending you the Holy Ghost. He'll lead and guide you. He'll direct you to truth. See, when you start reading this Bible, when you first get saved, you say, I don't understand it. You need to stop before you open the book. And you need to say this. Spirit of God, open my eyes that I may receive the wonders of this book. When my son was just starting in medicine, a lady came to him. And she began to tell him all of his troubles, all of her troubles. And he said, ma'am, he said, I can write you a prescription today. They got to talking. He knew she was a Christian, a believer. And he said, but what I'd really like to write you is something totally different. And she said, you write me what's on your heart. He took his prescription pad out and he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. And he tore that prescription off. He said, lady, he said, I promise you, if you'll do this, you'll never be back here with this problem again. You know what I'm saying here is right. But I'm not aiming for your head today. I've got to hit this. If I've not touched this today, you'll leave the very same. But if the Spirit of God touches your heart with the truth, Amen. You'll never come in this building the same as you did today. Amen. I promise you. You may still be screwed up, but it'd be a different reason. You know, it's true, right? I mean, you know, that's not a good way to end the sermon, I know, but it's because we're so screwed up. And He is so patient that He takes one thing at a time. I've been serving Jesus for 50 years. 50 years. I got saved when I was in the womb. No. I'm amazed at how Jesus still points things out in my life. I'm a long way from perfect. I will say this. I don't think I'm screwed up anymore. Some of you disagree with that, don't you? Are you understanding me? I think I'm on the path. I think I'm receiving revelation and I'm growing in Jesus because of this. I get up every day and I read this word. Say, well, of course you do. You're a preacher. Has nothing to do with sermons. I read it for me. Then I come to the office and I study for a sermon. But I read this for me. You know, a minister ministers out of the overflow. If I'm drained, you get drained. You get drained meat. I've got to stay in the presence of God. I can get a sermon off the internet, but it won't do you any good. You know, I have found I can't even preach the same sermon twice. You got to have fresh bread. You need bread from heaven, not what's in the drawer. I can serve you stale bread, but it's not going to change you. We need fresh bread every day of our life. Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the word. I am the light. This maybe hasn't excited you because it's stuff you know. It's stuff you know, but to most of you, it's not stuff you do. And the knowing and the doing needs to coincide in our lives. I know the Word of God is true. Now I dedicate myself to study it. Folks, I'm going to tell you read 3, 4, 5 verses every day. Now there's some times in my life when I read chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters. I have sat down and read the whole New Testament at one time. But then there's other days, it's just like most of the time I come to you in a sermon and I preach, you know, 7, 8, 10, 12 verses. Today I come with one verse. Why? Because that verse, I couldn't go any further. It's the Word of God that effectively changes us into His image, which is exactly what we want. Stand with me if you would. Amen. We sincerely want to thank Denny and Shelley for stepping up last week and helping us out. And I understand you guys had great services and just a really wonderful time. I appreciate that. Both of those people have never turned us down. Denny always tells me, I'll fill that pulpit anytime you want me to, but if you want to ask anybody else, I'll not be offended. Isn't that precious? That's just precious. They have the mind of Christ. They have studied to show themselves approved. What does God want to do in your life? Have you ever thought about it? How does God see John? I will guarantee you he does not see you the way you see you. When he talked to Gideon, who's hiding behind a wall, he said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." You may see yourself as a drug addict, but God doesn't see you as a drug addict. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you will be refuted. You get this? This is powerful stuff. It's the Word of God. Have you ever heard a person preach a sermon and never say his own thoughts? He just quoted the Word of God. I heard it one time. I sat there and I thought, this is brilliant. Where's he getting this stuff? And then I realized, he's just quoting Romans. You don't get any more brilliant than God. And he wrote that book. Satan has tried to destroy it. Do you realize how much Satan would like to destroy this book? There's a movie out that's a true story. A guy in a prison camp had to clean the latrines. One of the commanding officers was wiping with Bible. He'd rip a page out of the Bible and he'd wipe himself and throw it in the latrine. And this guy, he saw that Bible, saw that word in there. He reached in there, grabbed the word, washed it off, and it was his salvation. One page of the Word of God brought that man freedom from the inside out. It's a true story. What if something happens today and they pass a law that we had to turn these in? You cannot keep the word any longer. You know, in some nations, this is not allowed. You know, Christians get together. You know what they do? They say, write down what you've memorized. We'll have a portion of the Word of God if you just write down what you memorize. How much of the Word would we have today if all of us wrote down what we memorized? Would we be ashamed? Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed. You get it? This will bring real change into your life. Would you just close your eyes, bow your head? This has not been a sermon for the timid. It's not been a sermon for the weak. It's been a gutsy sermon. So what are you going to do with it? See, I delivered what God put on my heart. Ball's in your court. What are you going to do with this word? Are you going to blow off the Spirit of God one more time? I know you've heard this sermon before. Are you going to say, okay, it's time for a real change. It's time to study. Spirit of God, I ask you to burn this in their hearts. Move upon this congregation right now. Speak to their hearts. Call them by name, Spirit of God. Call them by name. Challenge them with the truth. With an uplifted hand, I'm going to ask you, will you dedicate yourself to more study than you've ever studied before? Amen. I see hands everywhere, all through the congregation. If we do this, this church will never be the same. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, you saw the hands. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just birth something new in us. Birth that desire to read your word, to study your word, to understand your word, to walk in your word, to believe in your word, to do your word. Birth it, Lord. Birth it in us. God, I thank you, Lord, for effective change in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're not saved today, you need to start the journey. Your spirit is asleep and it needs to be woke up. And you do that by just saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to be my Savior. Will you come into my heart? Live in me, and I will follow you. I will do what you tell me to do. And the first thing he's going to tell you to do is get in that word. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'll be at that back door. I'd love to pray for you and pray with you. Brother Denny, would you come in the service with a blessing.